After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
This team is irritating. This team is so infuriating this year. Last year was fun, and I knew it wasn't going to be the same as this year, for sure.
For sure.
But this?
Oh, this.
This is March. This is when it matters. You have this huge, what this team called a statement win in Minnesota without De'Aaron Fox. You come back home to start a stretch of 3 games in 4 nights, 11 of 16 this month at home, 5 against teams below 500. One of those teams, the Chicago Bulls, who, by the way, another shorthanded team coming into your house. You get up 14, the league goes away. It's okay. How do you respond? Well, you get back up big again. Up 22 points, but by the end of the third, it shrinks. And by midway through the quarter, Morgan's texting me. I'm saying the Kings are losing this game. The Kings were up double digits when I sent that text to Morgan. And the Kings find a way to lose another big lead against another shorthanded team. They lose to the Chicago Bulls tonight, 113-109. In the fourth quarter, DeMar DeRozan had 19 points. Sacramento had 18. Sacramento led in this game by a large margin, 89-67 with 3:52 to go in the third. They were outscored 46-20 the rest of the way. What is this team? What is this team? I feel like we do have it figured out. This is what they're going to do. They're going to win some games because they're talented enough, and they're going to be good some nights and find ways. But other nights, they're missing free throws. They can't guard, and then they go through stretches where they can't score. You score 20 points in 15 and a half minutes of the game? 20 points!
You said 15 and a half minutes. I don't know if this was in those 15 and a half minutes, but from 9:13 to about 9:27, Deuce did not text me back, but my text to him, why would he foul there? Next text. I feel like Keegan keeps holding on to the ball. Second too long. Needs to have a quicker decision. Next text. Fuck. Next text. Fuck. Next text. I hurt. Next text. This is my worst loss of the season. Next text. I'm so sad. Finally, he replied. Talking a little bit more about this game. Oh.
I just want you to rewind, though. Before that, I said they lost the game.
And he said...
I said, F the zone. Put Duarte in. They're losing this game.
Yeah. There you go. So I think that explains where the emotions went when things started going downhill. Because I'm talking to Deuce, even before going into tonight's podcast, about, like, it's insane to think about if they had won this game, how many good things we're talking about. Even if it got close, we would be talking about so many good things that happened throughout this game, which I know we will still touch on some things. But truly, like, the identity of this game, in my eyes, is a team that plays so hard and so well throughout and is not able to close. And we keep asking, what's the identity of this team, the inconsistency, all these things. But that is like their identity, the inconsistency on being able to close after you have control of the game, after you have a win waiting for you on your home floor, making your free throws tonight, things looking good on the defensive end.
First stretches.
Starting off, I'm talking about setting the tone, starting off, whatever, or finishing the first quarter even.
But that's the thing, Morgan. They have stretches where they look locked in defensively to start the third quarter, and then they get absolutely cooked.
I don't get it. I don't get how it goes from one end of the spectrum to the other. I really don't understand it, but truly, it is it's frightening sometimes what we are witnessing out there on the court. And other times it's like so exciting. Tonight, the frightening end.
First quarter, 36-22, Kings.
Yeah.
Bulls outscored them in the second, 27-20. Kings scored 35 in the third, outscored them 35-28. But in the fourth, they were outscored 36-18. Dude, this inconsistencies. You have two quarters tonight where you score 35 plus, and then you have a quarter where you score 20 and a quarter where you score 18.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give the Bulls their credit in a little bit. Their pesky deflections, Caruso. They did some good things, okay? I'm not trying to take anything away. You're up 22 at home, okay? You're the better team. You're supposed to win this game tonight. There's no like excuse like, hey, this happens. You're coming off the heels of what the team called a statement win. You're also coming off the heels where you're talking about this players-only meeting that happened after Denver, the response from that, the talk great about the players-only meeting continued. Like, people were talking about it. Today at shoot-around, you're like, okay, well, maybe this could galvanize you. But what we said after that Minnesota win was this, Morgan. None of this matters if you lose Monday against the Bulls. And here we are. They lost Monday against the Chicago Bulls. And now you're setting up a huge game coming up Wednesday night against a Lakers team who won tonight against Oklahoma City, the number one seed, and a Lakers team that's only a game and a half behind you. They beat you. They're only a half game behind you. So the Kings, in the midst of trying to get into the top six, let a huge game on their home floor go by not playing disciplined, by not playing consistent defense, by shrinking when the moment.
There, that shrinking.
Shrinking in the moment. I'm like, there were bad shots. There were poor decisions. Mm-hmm. There's even a stretch. It was a tie game. And, you know, of course, it's a tie game. I'm already thinking the game's over. Trey Lyles gets a pass, wide open for three, hesitates, passes, gets it back. Hesitates again, decides to put the ball on the floor. Looked like he might have a shot to go finish at the rim. He decides to pass it, turnover. That ends up leading to a bucket by Kobe White, an and one that fouled Sabonis out, right? Was that the and one there? It might not have been. Either way, it became 111-109 after that pass, and that's just brutal.
Just you talking about that one possession right there. There were so many times down the stretch where there was just too much hesitation for, and like even in my text, I talked about Keegan and it was such little things. Like you're not even, it wasn't, not everyone's even going to notice it, right? Because I'm just like, yeah, he was surveying the floor, seeing what he could do, but already make the decision, swing it. No, you're going to go. Like, do something with it. And I just felt like there was a lot of those slow decisions, a lot of those hezzies, as Mike Brown would call it, especially when people have a wide open look and aren't shooting the ball, like Trey Lyles in that possession that you're speaking of. So, yeah, I don't understand why they went to that, but they became scared of the moment. And what we saw from this team last year, I feel like, was playing so fearless. And at times, it's like they're whatever their the fear is or whatever they're worried about is sinking in and it's holding them back from playing their free best basketball.
Then it's a mental thing then.
It because has to be.
If this team is missing free throws like they have this year at key moments, you're thinking about it. This team shot 79% at the free throw line last year. This year they're at 72%. They're missing big ones like we saw late. They were able to hang on against Minnesota.
Yeah.
But they missed key ones. Tonight, that wasn't the issue. But then you get into the situation of them holding on leads. We're to the point now. I mean, I think I could speak for everyone who's watching us or listening to us later. I don't think anybody feels comfortable with a big lead.
No. And I don't, yeah, Morgan, no.
They were up 30 points in Chicago. Remember, they were up 30 and the game got down to 3.
Yeah.
And they had to hold on to win that game. And then tonight you're up 22. And I know there's still a lot of time. Of course, a team could get back into it, but a team should not get back into it, especially if you play the right way. It feels like they get up 22 and they're like, we're good now. And they need to start going for the kill shot. They need to go, we're going to keep playing the same way. I'll say this. I do think the lineup that Mike Brown had at the end of the third quarter cost them because it gave Chicago confidence. It got them right back in this league. So third quarter, Kings are up 20. It's 87-67, okay. 3:37 to go. He makes a change to the lineup. It's Mitchell, Monk, Duarte, Lyles, and Len. Mm-hmm. Okay. But even before that, 4:11, Mitchell, Monk, Herter, HB, Len. My point is, you don't hear Sabonis' name, mm-hmm. you don't hear De'Aaron Fox's name, and you don't hear Keegan Murray's name.
Yep.
That's a dangerous proposition to me. And I don't like that setup at all, because who is creating for you in this moment? You know, it's Monk's there, sure, but you're putting yourself in a really challenging position against a Chicago team that's athletic, that has some length, that's really good at defending.
Mm-hmm. And then even, I'm with you on that. And I didn't really think about that in that moment. Because I think when you have Malik Monk out there, you do feel this sense of confidence. And even with Trey Lyles at times, right? Like those are two guys off the bench that you think can produce and do a good job. And tonight there's 38 bench points, but truly it's not about what they can do and produce on the offensive end only. It's also being able to like lock down and be together on a string on the defensive end. And that group isn't playing together all the time on the floor in NBA minutes, maybe at practice in a second unit, sure. But like in these NBA minutes, like where things were working with a different lineup.
They scored 6 points while they were in the game together. Six points in 3+ minutes.
So when did they go? They went to the zone, what, in the fourth?
They ended up going to the fourth. And this is after Keegan and Sabonis pick up their fifth. Okay. And I just... it's like you got to have those guys on the floor, but then you're in a zone and you're so worried, but then you're scrambling. And I felt like the zone wasn't the defense to put in that group.
Yeah.
Before we get there, I just want to mention this. It's 87-67 when they go with a lineup that doesn't feature Sabonis, Fox, or Keegan out there. It gets whittled down to 91-77 at the end of the third. I mean, you're still in control, but like, dude, your 20-point lead is gone, and now they're feeling confident. So they just kept chipping away at that point. Early in the fourth, Sabonis picks up his fifth foul at the 10:53 mark. That's Keegan picked up his fifth foul when it's 102-91 Sacramento at the 6:13 mark. But you're still up by 11. You're up 11 almost halfway through the fourth quarter. They get in a zone, they get picked apart.
But it didn't feel like an 11-point lead at that point. It felt like it was just being chiseled away. Like there's a point in a game when you feel like, oh, this is padding. This 10-point game, like this is a 10-point lead and this is how it's going to be, you know, pretty much to the end. It never felt that way. It felt like, you know, whether you believe in momentum or not, and I say that a lot because so many athletes even say that's not a thing. Well, whatever. Either way, it's like the shift was going in the direction of the Bulls. And yes, when that was the lead for the Kings, I was not confident. And then they go into that zone. I was like fine with making that adjustment. But then when it wasn't working, it was just like, oh, shit.
And then they left it, and then they started to throw doubles at DeRozan, but DeRozan made the right decisions. Mm. DeRozan in the fourth quarter had 19 points on 7 of 7 shooting. Crazy.
It was pretty nuts. I mean, at the half, he had only taken like one shot. So then seeing what he was doing in that second half, you would expect him to go off or at least find a way to get more. But it just sucked that it was him getting his, and then the other guys also getting theirs.
Kobe White had a career high 37 points, I think, tonight. Or was it his match's career high against the Kings? Let me just look it up real fast. Sorry.
God.
Kobe White, I think he had his career high before against Sacramento. Yeah, his career high was 37 points. It's tonight. 37 points. Let's also remind you, he did not score in the first quarter. I don't even think he took a shot in the first. He had 37 points. He had 7 assists, 5 rebounds. Kings couldn't guard him. Kings could not guard Io either, who had 20 points on 9 of 15 shooting. They couldn't contain the ball. They got destroyed in the pick and roll, put Sabonis in some compromising positions too, and he was in foul trouble. And then offensively, it fell apart. So when you can't guard anybody, then guys are in foul trouble. You try a gimmicky zone. You're throwing doubles at times. It's like, it's too late. DeRozan cooked. All of a sudden, he's got a ton of confidence. He's hurting tough turnaround jumpers over Keegan like it was nothing.
And here's where the worst part came in, because then you go, oh, Alex Caruso, only 2 points, right? But he played 34 minutes. What was going on? I mean, you look at down the line, 4 steals. You look at what he was able to produce defensively and then what this team was able to produce defensively. They ended up with 9 steals, but the Kings had 18 turnovers. And off those 18 turnovers, the Bulls had 24 freaking points. I mean, the shift was the Bulls were doing such a fantastic job of capitalizing off the Kings' mistakes on their home floor. You know, already it's deflating when the Kings are making these mistakes, but the Bulls were doing just great finding ways to score off those mistakes all throughout the rest of the game.
Caruso was 1 of 10 in this game and had 2 points. He was so impactful.
Yep.
Like, you look at the box, oh, man, he was awful tonight. 0 for 6 from 3. The guy was so good defensively. He's been on the all-defensive team before. He is legit out there. And you're right. That's why he was out there. And I thought that was the other thing tonight. The Bulls lineup just gives Sacramento fits, especially when you're starting those 3 guards, and like DeRozan, like he's pretty much a guard. I know he doesn't play the guard in this lineup, but when they can do that and spread you out, I mean, those guys, Io, were just
oh my God,
beating the Kings off the dribble.
That's
going
exactly
straight
it.
To the rim.
Yeah, I mean, you look at White and just his ability to beat anyone off the dribble. I mean, I think he had that first crossover early on Harrison Barnes and then went down the middle of the paint, dunked it. I mean, it was a nice move, and I was like, okay, that can't happen again. And then it felt like it happened 7 more times. You know, and that's where it gets frustrating. I go, where's the adjustment there? You go into this zone, but this zone, you're not even packing the paint in this zone. You know, you're still somehow allowing the paint to be open enough for people to penetrate and get in there. And even if someone did come over and help, it's like they were getting the ball out, getting a spray 3. And the Kings had these moments where they were so locked in. The verticality was there. Their hands were in the passing lane. And it was yes, 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 yes. But the Bulls just did a better job of never taking their foot off the gas pedal and just going at them.
DeRozan, we mentioned the 19 he had in the fourth. He had 33 points, 10 of he missed 2 shots, 10 of 12 shooting. He was 2 of 3 from downtown. I swear the guy always hits 3s against the Kings. Never takes them, but always hits them against the Kings. And 11 of 12 from the free throw line. I thought the other thing tonight, a couple of things. I was complaining about the lineup at the end of the third because you're missing some key guys out there. And then you hung on to that too. You gave that group too much rope out there. Like you got to make a tweak faster. Brown ended up making that tweak with 34 seconds to go when he put De'Aaron Fox back in the game. And I'm like, well, it's 91-77 now. Like, got to make those tweaks faster. The other thing is I love the lineup, the closing lineup at the end of the second quarter. Fox, Monk, Duarte, Keegan, and Sabonis. Duarte, I know it's been a rough year. I feel like the last 5 games, he has been such a better player out there. Not only what he's been doing defensively, way more engaged, playing physical, getting a little chippy out there.
A little bit more under control, too.
But he's also being effective offensively. In the first half, he had 8 points. He finished with 8 points, 5 rebounds. Those numbers, that was first half numbers for him. And I thought they should have gone back to him with that group. It's like, you're not getting stops right now. Someone's got to sacrifice tonight. All right, sorry, Herter, you're out of this game. Sorry, HB, you're out of this game. We got to go with Duarte out there because at least I know He can guard a little bit. He's going to play physical. And it, right now, he's not killing you offensively.
Yeah.
So that's one where I'm like, that's a miss, especially when you saw the sample size of it. That group at the end of the second quarter closed on a really good run. They closed the second quarter on a 13-3 run. It was because they were getting stops. They were playing the right way. And then that lineup never played a minute together the rest of the game.
Yeah, I which is surprising because I think Mike Brown is usually someone who, when he likes something or something works, like he goes with it. But I think it's where that lineup happened and it was like, okay, it happened there. It was great. But like, how do I get back there again? I don't want to force it, you know? So even sometimes understanding like a coach's instinct and what they feel is right, but sure, it worked and it was something that they could have obviously gone back to.
The next question I have lineup related, and I know this is something that happens, all right? We all get to the point after a loss and like you go to any NBA market, they're talking about coaches' rotations and minutes.
Okay.
I'm just some idiot who watches the games, but this is just my perspective on it.
Please.
Keon Ellis started for you last game. Okay. Keon Ellis started for you. I know Fox is out. He started for you, did some really good things defensively, had 4 steals, super active. I'm not saying the guy needs 25 minutes a night.
Yeah.
He starts for you last game, did not play tonight.
It's not even about the whole, like, got to reward him. It's not even about that. It's about the, no.
I disagree.
No. It's not about that at this point of the year, too. It's not about having to reward him. It's about understanding the impact that he did have when he was playing in those minutes and why you did end up going with him, obviously because of the matchup, right? But the matchup in the NBA, I mean, you're going to having that type of length and defensive mentality alone from someone like Keon Ellis, like is really like the one of the main reasons why, yes, I would automatically go in that direction.
Against this lineup? You definitely would like to see him against Io or Kobe White.
Especially after what they were burning everybody.
I mean, that's the thing. The Bulls bench is one of the worst benches in the league. And especially, it's taking a bigger hit now. Of course, Patrick Williams is out. Torrey Craig is out. This team is banged up. And, you know, Lonzo hasn't played in like 2 years, but you know, they've had some injuries that they've dealt with too. But the bench is one of the lowest scoring benches in the league. You got cooked by 3 guys tonight. Cooked. I mean, that's what's so disappointing. It's you lost a big lead at home, and these are crucial games. So this is not November.
So now can we get to the crucial moments in when they lost the lead?
And oh, my God. We didn't even talk about that yet.
Oh, calm down there. Let's not throw things or hit things. Do you want to start with the out-of-bounds play, baseline out-of-bounds, De'Aaron Fox, or do you want to just start, like, really when they got the lead at, what, 111, 109?
I mean, Sabonis fouls out, and it just puts you in a tough spot. You end up going small, and after killing it on the glass, it didn't feel like Sacramento's rebounding in that fourth quarter was the same. And I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'm going to dig them up now.
He's a beast. I mean, the way he battles in there. And
he didn't have a good night tonight either.
No.
That's the other thing. He was 1 of 9 in the first half. He got it going late, but in the third quarter. Let's see, in the fourth quarter, the rebounding. Let's see. Oh, Sacramento out-rebounded 10-8. Yeah, just I don't know why. I just felt like they got the timely ones.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean,
I mean, yeah.
The late game execution just in general. I mean, you fell apart. It was, Morgan, it was 109-107 with 2:20 to go.
Okay.
After Barnes goes 1 of 2 at the free throw line. Yeah, I know. You don't score the final 2:20. You had a Fox turnover, Lyles turnover, a missed 3 by Fox that wasn't very good, right?
Mistakes.
Turnover with 36 seconds to go when you're down 2 with the ball, coming out of timeout, and Fox threw a terrible pass. That was a turnover, and the game's over. Now, even the fouling situation at the end was weird. Like, I'm like, what? Foul.
Yeah, wait, when White had the ball and
they waited too long.
But I felt like they were fouling him. I felt like they were, and I'm like, all of a sudden the officials aren't going to call this a foul. Like, this is the playoffs all of a sudden.
Well, it was just so unfortunate too, because they missed a shot. And wasn't that when Lyles like dove for the offensive rebound?
Yes.
Or whatever.
It was a great hustle by Lyles diving on the ground for it. Was just like these bounces wasn't working for them. And I mean, and you look at like you, and before we get to that final baseline out of bounds play too, where De'Aaron turns it over. I mean, you talking about the rebounds, and even, you know, they out rebounded the Bulls by two in that fourth quarter. But you look at the offensive rebounds, even on the night, the Kings had 20 offensive rebounds that led to 24 second chance opportunity points.
You lost the game.
I mean, there are so many things that you could go down the line and see, and you'd be like, yes, that was great. The points in the, or the fast break points, the, or not the fast break points, I'm sorry, the second chance points, the bench points, you know, the rebounding and the free throws even looking better. And you still couldn't find a way to win a game, win this game specifically. And I look at that final baseline out of bounds play with De'Aaron Fox taking the ball out and turning it over, trying to get it to Malik Monk. He did talk about it after the game.
Can you take me to the inbound pass where you threw it out of bounds and like 30 seconds left? What was the play right there? What was supposed to happen in the action?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we run normally. And then we had HB on, or Vooch on HB to be like the, that would usually be Domas, but he fouled out at the time. And I kind of didn't want to take that chance. Obviously throwing on someone that's 6'8 over someone that's 7 foot. Me and Malik just had a miscommunication. He was coming back to the corner. I was trying to throw it over the top to him, and we just didn't get the ball inbound.
Some of that late game execution, fourth quarter, and turnovers, I guess, specifically, how much of it do you feel like was kind of them pressuring compared to some of your own mistakes?
I mean, I think most of it was our mistakes. Just getting too deep into the lane. This is a team that doesn't necessarily guard the three ball well. But they do guard the paint well, you know, three, four, five guys in the paint at a time, a lot of hands. And we were just getting too deep into the paint today, and they got their hands on a lot of balls.
Just so disappointing, man.
It is. And, you know, I thought his breakdown of that final play, and usually Sabonis is there and he's dependable and you can get it to him. I mean, just even having this size advantage, whatever, being able to create that space from Vucevic, but it wasn't there. And it was just, I wish they had used their final timeout even right there. Like that was such an important possession that was just thrown away. What De'Aaron didn't have a great fourth quarter, and that did not make it any better.
The Kings in the fourth were a mess. Fox was 0-for-4. 0 for 3 from downtown, 1 of 2 at the line. He had 1 point, 3 turnovers. Gosh. Sacramento in the quarter scored 18 points on 6 of 20 shooting. They were 0 for 6 from downtown, and they had 6 turnovers in the fourth quarter that turned into 11 points for the Bulls. Meanwhile, Chicago, 36 points in the quarter, 68% shooting. They were 2 of 3 from downtown, 8 of 9 at the line.
So the Kings finished the first quarter with 36 points, and then the Bulls finished the fourth quarter with a 36-point fourth quarter, when it mattered most. Yeah.
I guess I struggle, and I know a lot of fans, too, are trying to figure out, like, how this keeps happening. Like, it's just allowing these runs, and it's just like when it falls apart, it just all falls apart, you know? And
yeah,
you can't trust this team at all. I mean, I wrote down the losses this year that like are just so painful.
Did you?
You lost at home to the Hornets, shorthanded Hornets.
Oh God, yeah.
I know at Philly, like, hey, they play hard. They've got Maxey, but Embiid wasn't playing, and you got crushed. Milwaukee, at Milwaukee, again.
Oh my God.
You're up. You make free throws and just execute. You just execute, make some free throws. The game's over and you win. And then
the final play.
The defensive breakdown at the end. Lillard hits a game winner. You lose. Next game. Having some of your best basketball in a game in Phoenix What a response after Milwaukee. You're up 22 points with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. You lose the game. You lost to Indiana at home, and to be honest, it was an awful loss.
And no Tyrese.
No Tyrese. Mm-mm. T.J. McConnell cooked you.
Pascal Siakam wasn't even on the team.
He wasn't playing yet. He wasn't even in Sacramento. He was just getting to Indiana, taking his physical. Then you lost at home to a Pistons team that we all know is awful.
Correct.
That was shorthanded. And the next day, two of the players that play in the game got cut by the Pistons.
Cut.
Then you lost to Miami. Ugh. Where you should have won that game. They were shorthanded.
Oh, God.
Guys suspended, hurt, got cooked.
Yep.
Oh, and then tonight against Chicago, shorthanded, when you're up 22 points. You know, it's happened too often. And you think about these games. All these games I mentioned, like, you had the Philly game, let's just cross out. You just got smoked, okay? Uh-huh. Forget that. But all the rest of these, Indiana, I'm going to cross out too because you just got smoked. It's disappointing.
Damn.
But these other games,
yeah,
that's one, two, three, four. There's like five games you go, we should have won those games. We should have won those games. Like, we had a chance. We should have won those games.
Your list honestly gives me anxiety. Like, I feel something so heavy on my chest, and it hurts. And that's why, like, tonight when I text you and I said, this was my worst loss of the season. Like, the way I felt after this loss, and I know you have felt this throughout many losses. And I stay pretty even, you know, like, I understand, like, hey, it's the NBA, the best players in the world are in this league. Like, shit happens night in, night out. It's going to be hard at times, but it's truly, when you look at that list and you look at a night like tonight, and again, I say on your home floor, you look at home court advantage and you still can't find a way to close out this game, dude, and get that. It's disappointing. I think it tells you so much more about this team that we've been saying all year long. Now, I'll say this really quick too. I think there's obviously fans, fanatics, like, they get in these places where they just want to, like, quit everything and they're just so angry. And I understand all those emotions, but I don't feel that way, because when I feel the highs of this team winning this year, like, even after Minnesota, I get there's something there where I believe. Sure. And I don't feel like it's false, but I feel like what I'm feeling right now and what I felt the other night, I have to find a way to just feel the in between, because this is what they've been all season long.
And that's, I think, what's been so tough about this season.
Yeah.
Is like, yeah, perspective. They're 34-26 and we're in March. And guess what? This team has a good chance to be a playoff team still. We can acknowledge that. We can acknowledge, hey, at least it's not a few years ago. Acknowledge. We got that. But it's like last year they weren't that good at home. They were 23-18 at home and they had like a lot of bad losses at home. Yes, even late in the year, the San Antonio game. Like, San Antonio wasn't even trying to win it. They started their, people don't remember this, Wiley the Coyote, their mascot, started the second half of that game.
I forgot about that.
And he scored 17. He scored 17 points.
70 or 17?
17.
Okay.
17 in the first 3 minutes of the quarter to finish with 50. So you lost to the Hornets. You lost to the Wizards. Those games are still ingrained into my mind. And so you're like, hey, this year, can it be better? Now, the Kings have played the fewest home games in the NBA. Still, to this night, the fewest home games in the NBA. But they're 16-11 on the home floor with bad losses at home. Yeah. And they're 18-15 on the road. Okay, you'll take being above 500 on the road. Thumbs up. But not taking advantage of the home games, especially against these teams that are under 500, it's really deflating. It's really, really deflating. Another game I'd even throw on my bad loss list, by the way, was at Portland, who was shorthanded. Forgot to mention that one shorthanded. Ugh,
gotta add that on the list.
I mean, there is just, you when you're trying to figure it out, and I know there's a lot of teams in the West who are in the same area as the Kings that are having similar things happen, but it doesn't make it any less infuriating, because when this team does play well, like Morgan said, you start to, oh man, I think they're going to go. Where's this 5-game win streak? Where's winning 7 of 9? Like,
because the way they play in these wins, like, it's not fluky basketball. It's not like, oh, the other team was just playing like crap that night. It feels like a lot this season. It's what the Kings are doing to these teams, right? And you're exactly right, though. Where are those 4-game winning streaks? Multiple of them. Like, why can't there be a couple more within this season so it's not so up and down? I mean, any roller coaster is not fun if the whole time the ride went up and down.
I think the other thing, too, that's so strange about this year is even some of the wins have... I always say appreciate the wins, blah, blah, blah. But even some of the wins feel shitty. Like, the win in Chicago, where Fox had 41, they were up 30, and they it's like, geez, can you guys just close this shit out?
Yeah.
The San Antonio game a couple weeks ago at home.
But that's expected I guess.
No more. My point is this. The wins,
it
feels like they have to eke out. They have to survive. And then it's losing big leads that have happened or losing the shorthanded teams. We haven't seen many just complete performances from Sacramento.
That's fair. I mean? That's fair.
Like
fair,
the
fair,
ones fair. That jump out to me at Memphis New Year's Eve.
Oh, where they just
locked in. The Phoenix game at Phoenix would have been that for sure had they had won. The one at Denver before the All-Star break.
Yep.
Fantastic. And it was more like, dude, you grinded it out second. I have a back-to-back that was fun. It's hard. I mean, they rallied back in that against Golden State early in the season when they were down 20 plus at home and won that in-season tournament game. The win against OKC earlier this year at home was fun, but
Clippers the other week.
That's right. At the Clippers was pretty fun.
Yeah.
You know, shorthanded. They took care of business there. But yeah, it just, they've had a lot of these games. Like, even, okay, I'm looking at the schedule right now and it's popping to me right away. What? The game, remember the game they won at Dallas earlier this year where they won by 5? It got close.
Yes, yes, yes. That was awful. Like, not fun. Not fun.
They did not close well.
Delete.
Oh, my goodness.
Delete. Yeah. Nope. Dislike.
And when you lost to Detroit, you lost by 13. They put up 133 on you.
I mean, rub it in. What are you doing?
The point is that this is why this year feels so bizarre.
Yeah.
So bizarre.
Yeah. And I think what I think is nice, everyone that I've talk to, friends, family, a lot of people feel the same way about this year. Because, like, I'll push back. And I think I push back sometimes because of all the awful basketball I lived through, the 9-game losing streaks I did this through. And then, so when it's not that bad, I just have, like, a different perspective. But then I talk to people who aren't doing podcasts every night after 9-game losing streaks who have a different perspective. And I appreciate theirs as well. And I understand their frustrations and everything. And sometimes they also meet me in the middle and understand why I'm not as frustrated as them because there's still a lot of good basketball happening. But it's a lot of up and down. It's a lot of up and down. And that's really hard to do, I think, for any human being, whether you are a fan, whether you're a player, whether you're a coach, whether you're part of this organization. I'm sure it's difficult on everybody.
The poll question tonight for the people hanging out with us tonight, we appreciate you guys. How are you feeling? The options, worried, we need these wins, or it sucks, but bounce back and everything is fine. 78% of people voting tonight, worried, we need these wins. The That's Kings fair. With the loss, they dropped to 7th tonight. They were in 6th earlier tonight. There's still reasons for optimism that we could talk about, blah, blah, blah. I'm not ready yet.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm not ready yet.
That's but fine.
Yeah, I think the biggest concern I have with this group is just, are they mentally tough enough? I think the answer at this moment on March 4th, after a loss to the Bulls and everything we have seen this year, is the answer is no.
Here's my question.
They miss free throws at key times. They blow big leads. They shrink in tight moments.
Here's my question. What makes you like, what could make a team mentally tougher? Like, is it a mental strength coach? Is it a certain, is it one player that they're missing? Is it like a coach bringing it out of them? Like, what is it that, because I know over the years, I feel like, especially when Vlade was there drafting people and bringing in people, it felt like there was a lot of nice guys. There's always, and I loved having nice people around. Like, that is a positive thing. But nobody was really, like, Justin Jackson wasn't going to beat someone up if he needed to. You know what I mean? It was like, it was just, always felt like that style of personality. And I feel like now you have a little bit more personality. You have a voice in Trey Lyles. You have toughness in Sabonis. You have Malik with his confidence. And then you had De'Aaron, who was on a tear and then had a dip, got injured a little, I think the injury and then the dip, whatever. And now has like kind of found his way again. Keegan had his ups and downs. You know, you have all these things that I feel like a lot of NBA teams go through. So what is it that would make them become mentally tougher?
I wish I had the answer to it. I mean, okay. I think part of it is when you have a big lead, it's not like, hey, all right, we got it. I mean, I'm not sure they do that, but I felt in the Phoenix game when they were up 22 with 8 to go, you start kind of milking the clock a little bit. NBA, 20-point leads are nothing. Nothing. I used to joke about this a couple of years back about what the equivalent is. Like, what is a 20-point lead compared to what it was like 10 years ago? I feel like it's like a 14-point lead. It's not. It's like subtract 6. You're up 25, subtract 6. It's like a 21.
Deuces.
I'm telling you, it's just not the same with the three people, the pace.
Oh, I'm with ability, you.
They go to line. Big leads aren't what they used to be. But you got to, that's where you lock in. Because you could turn a 22-point lead. Sure, it could fall apart fast.
Yeah.
That could also balloon to 35 100%. In a second. And I think there are too many times the Kings go away from what they do. You got to play with force the entire game. That means pace, pace, pace. I just saw you push the pace constantly without your best, one of your best players in De'Aaron Fox against Minnesota.
Yes.
Where was that tonight?
Well, it's pace, pace, pace. Even when there's 3 minutes left in the game, 4 minutes left, I don't give a shit. End of the fourth, pace, like, I would rather have you push and miss a layup or push and get the best early offense look at a mid-range shot, then slow it down, get in your half-court offense, and not play in your same flow, in your same free rhythm. So, yeah, that's absolutely something that, like, you and I have talked about many times with this team, where I felt like they started getting better at that. But tonight, when I noticed it a little bit and the ball was rolling again, I'm like, what? Yeah, why are we doing this?
I don't know what is said in these timeouts. I would love to know, like, in these moments where the game's tightening up, who's talking, what are they saying, are they composed, like, what's that like? I don't know. I don't know the answer to it, because the mindset has to be like, no, we're turning on the jet. We're burying this team. We go for the damn kill shot.
This is a great point. Keegan Murray Watch, who is now a member for 10 months, appreciate the support. He says, I wish they couldn't see the clock and scoreboard.
Dude, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. Turn it off. Like, when they're, turn it off. Turn off. You don't know the score. Can't look at it. We'll tell you during the timeout. When you're up 20, we turn off. You don't know.
Yes.
Better play.
Or even if they can't turn it off, you're not allowed to look. You're not allowed to look. And you have to listen to your bench to count down the shot clock. 11, 10, 9.
I better not be 11, 10, 9. It needs to be your...
And a shot clock.
You need to be getting into your stuff fast.
Well, if
and
the
executing.
Ball was swinging around, the Bulls got, I don't know.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer. Like, you talk about, like, the free throw thing. The free throw thing is 100% mental. They made them tonight for the most part. They were 16 of 18. So you'll take that. Fox missed
one. Yes, you'll take that.
And HB missed one. But
they were focused there. They were focused in a lot. That's the thing. I felt like they came in focused to this game. Even with some of the runs the Bulls went on early and then in the third, like, I still felt like they had this, the correct focus. It was truly for me, like, late in that second half where I felt like they thought they still had this game no matter what for some reason.
Yeah, and that's a problem. That's the mindset. That's a problem. Is like,
yes,
yeah, the Bulls are making run. We're gonna figure that out. We got this. Yes. It's like, no.
Be worried.
The execution has to be there. DeMar DeRozan is a bucket getter. He's been doing it for how many years in the NBA?
Urgency.
14 something years. The guy gets buckets. The urgency yes. has to be there. The pace. And you can't be passing up shots. You got to make quick decisions, the right yes. decisions. And tonight, Sabonis fouls out. And Fox, who you rely on in these moments, who has been so good so many times in the fourth quarter, was not good in the fourth quarter. So it was one of those things that if you find a way to win tonight, you go, you got the win on a night where you almost lost the lead. Sabonis wasn't very good at all. And it's crazy to say Sabonis wasn't good when he had 18 and 21. But he had 5 turnovers. He fouled out. 7 of 19. He was not good inside the paint at all. He was not efficient whatsoever. Started 1 of 9. They did get it going a little bit in the third quarter. That two-man game with Fox and Sabonis had some brilliant dunks. Monk got him on the dunk, too. And you're like, oh, okay. He's gotten to a rhythm now. That's when the lead ballooned to 22 points.
Yep.
So it's weird on a game where it was literally awful, great, awful, great, awful. That's what it was tonight. And that's not acceptable for when you're trying to make the playoffs and you're playing a home game in March against a losing team.
I also don't think that's healthy for anyone's mental health. I really like the amount of people that text me and the things that they feel after a Kings win and then the things that they feel after a game like this, I'm always laughing because I'm like, you know, some people will be like, I can't do this anymore. And sometimes I'm like, that's dramatic. And then other times I think about it and I go, well, no, they invest so much of their heart and their time into this and they feel the ups and downs of a game like this.
I also think there's just, it's the small lineup that the Kings put out there sometimes is so hit or miss. It worked against Minnesota, against a front line that Naz Reid, Cat, and Gobert. And tonight, you know, it felt like after Sabonis went out, you go with Lyles, it was tougher. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I just want to make sure I didn't say Sabonis picked up his foul. Fifth foul, 10:53. I want to make that clear. Sabonis fouled out at 2:57. I don't know if I messed that up earlier when I was talking about it.
Oh, thank God you corrected it.
When you go small with Lyles in there, they could have gone Len. Len was up and down tonight, too, in his brief moments.
Yeah.
He had a block. But I think Vucevic, you know, will pull him out, too.
And then,
you know, the pick and roll killed him.
I think sometimes too, when you see their flaws against different matchups in the league, you know, people be like, you need this. But then when they match up well against Minnesota and get things done, you go, okay, oh, it can work. So there's so many different types of teams with so many different styles of play. Like there's going to be nights or teams that you just like, have difficult times against, but it's against the teams that you're literally supposed to get it done against that don't have a big three and all stars. And in fact, have had a lot of dysfunction throughout the year and injuries and health problems. And you're still not going to get this win in March on your home floor. The optics, it's all the angles that really screw with you.
We're going to get a couple people in the chat asking about Trey Lyles. Manny too legit says, Lyles looked like he was hesitant to take the big shot late in the fourth quarter. He should just let that thing fly. Gilbert said, yeah, I was wondering why Lyles wasn't shooting either at the end of the fourth, but I seen his shooting numbers. Yeah, he missed some shots tonight, but Trey Lyles is a good shooter. And I don't know the answer. It was shocking to me. And
maybe it's because he did miss some of those shots in that corner.
Again, what we're talking about mentally is like you have to keep playing your game. You can't be fazed by missing some corner shots. You have to trust the work you put in. And I've made threes before. I'm going to make the next one. And when you start passing it up and you're turning the ball over, that's game. Who's your rock and soul player of the game?
Oh, no. Who are you going to put?
DeMar DeRozan, the guy. Oh, wow. Just a bucket, dude. 33 points. He destroyed the Kings. 10 of 12 shooting, 11 of 12 at the free throw line. In the fourth, he had 19 points on 7 of 7 shooting. He didn't miss a shot. The Kings in the quarter had 18 points. 6 of 20 shooting, 6 turnovers.
I mean, my guy would have been Kobe White, but, you know, I'm fine with a Bulls player being our rock and soul. Well, I mean,
he closed him. He closed.
No, that's a good point. He did. He closed, and he dominated, and by not being able to slow him down, they had to put so much attention on him, which just left more of the paint open. It left more guys on the Bulls squad able to do so much more and get into the paint, line drives, whatever they needed to do.
Check out Rock and Soul Diner. That'll make you feel better after a tough loss. That's just six true. Blocks away from Golden 1 Center. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, breakfast all day. Rock and Soul Diner. Just the best place to go to. Love the Eggs Benedict there. Check them out. 10th and S in downtown Sacramento. We should also mention tonight that we're presented, as always, by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors, Morgan Reagan.
Yeah, I mean, Northwest. Love everything about them. A lot of Kings fans, so I'm sure that they're feeling the same way that we're feeling tonight. But I now have a Northwest Exteriors family because my sister just got a few windows done as well. And I'll have a few videos going up on social soon to kind of show what kind of project she did. But they do it all, you guys. They do it all. And whether you're trying to save money, whether you're trying to make your house look prettier, whether you're just trying to keep the cold out and the heat in, get a free quote today.
Could these windows stop the Bulls?
Honestly, yes. And a real Bull at this point. Noise canceling.
Well, check out the experts. Check out the website, trustnorthwest.com, because
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
I'm going to be honest with this now. I'm like the Kings mentally. Yeah. With this. I don't know. I nailed it the first 3 weeks of the season. And since then, it's because you're staring at me the whole time. How about you do it every once in a while?
Then
how
you about, do it every once in a while. Okay, also, don't do the hand in the face. And second, now you're kind of seeing what the key, like what pressure is. It's not easy. And I'm not saying that's why when we talk about it, yep. And I go, they need to figure it out. But it's hard.
Simply the best. Trust Northwest.
That was all me because I led the charge because I'm a leader I use my voice and I use direction.
That's what great leaders do. What they do is when someone is lacking confidence after that person goes and does it the right way, they punch back down and take credit for it. Great leadership.
Oh, wait.
Thank you, Morgan Cousins. Thank you.
Oh, appreciate because that. Deuce never takes credit for any but anything at all ever. Am I right, people? Give me a hell yeah. Oh,
yeah. There's no hell yeahs coming through tonight.
Whatever.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Next up for the Sacramento Kings, they take on the LA Lakers. That's going to be a big one Wednesday night. The Lakers coming off an impressive win over the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Come on, really?
They won 116-104. LeBron James, after surpassing 40,000 points in his career in that loss to Denver, had 19 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. AD had 24 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, and D'Lo had 26.
Damn.
As they hold OKC to 39% shooting.
Pretty good all-around team win for the Lakers.
And now it sets up this massive matchup between the Kings and the Lakers. The Lakers just a game and a half behind Sacramento. And, oh, by the way, the Kings play 7:30 that night in L.A., play the next night in Sacramento against Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs, who are playing some competitive basketball. Yeah.
And
Spurs just beat OKC, man.
I know. And this is why.
And Indiana.
This is why all these Monday night games against whoever matter so much right now. It's like they mattered in the beginning of the season, but now you put yourself in this situation where it's like, you were talking about the other day, Deuce, you're like, can they win 15 of their last whatever it was at that point? And it's like, that's really hard to do.
No, I asked, this is what I wanted this month.
Oh, what'd you want?
Kings play 16 games in the month of March.
Yes.
They played two so far, right?
Uh-huh.
I wanted them to win 11.
Okay.
I had the T-Wolves as a loss, and I had the Bulls as a win. So I was wrong so far.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they'll surprise us. So, yeah, the Lakers have been up and down, too. They lose to Phoenix. They had a great comeback against the Clippers. They survive a game where they had to go to overtime at home against Washington. They won that game. Then they lost to the Nuggets. Denver has been rolling, and they beat OKC. And this is, talk about this stretch for the Lakers. They play Sacramento, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Sacramento, Golden State in their next five games. So this is a pretty significant stretch for them coming up, too. So it just sets up a huge game, and you're going to have to respond. I loved how Sabonis played against AD earlier this year. Yeah, I mean,
it's like I don't doubt that they can play well, the Kings can play well against, like, I don't doubt it, but I just go, what Kings team you gonna get that night? Who are you gonna get, and in what quarters? And that at times is, I mean, it's frustrating for us. I can only imagine how they feel sometimes, like about not having answers or not being able to get that. Their minds shifted correctly. Like even just talking about Trey Lyles and not being able to just take that shot with confidence and understand that they need him just as much as they need someone out there like De'Aaron Fox. Like you got everyone is valuable out there in these moments.
Wendell in the chat says, this is the most disappointed Deuce and Mo have been. There is no silver lining. this has definitely not been the most disappointed. I think the Pistons game I was really irritated by.
I feel it this game.
The pressure's on, right? Now, games are like, this is heavy. These have great meaning right now. A couple of numbers in this 113-109 loss. Kings end up shooting 44%. They're just 11 of 37 from three. They out-rebounded Chicago 51-32. Mm. They had 29 assists, but 18 turnovers in this game. They were led in scoring tonight by De'Aaron Fox in his return, who was 8 of 16, but had just 1 point in the fourth quarter. Fox also had 10 assists. On a positive note, God, he had 3 turnovers in the fourth. I'm acknowledging that. He also had some incredible passes in the first three quarters.
Oh, my God.
Had a beautiful no-look feed to Sabonis. Back-to-back nice feeds. He had a bullet pass on the money to the corner to Trey Lyles for three. I was like, dang, this passing's gone a lot better.
Good job.
So there's silver. My positive.
There's your silver. I have two positives. Oh, okay. Then we'll have to get to a Sharif Jewelers moment of the game.
I know.
But because the only reason why I say that, because like, are these my Sharif Jeweler moments of the game? We'll see. I have Trey Lyles blocking Alex Caruso on that corner three. And I have Keegan in transition blocking somebody. I forget if it was DeRozan or who it was. Blocking somebody in transition and saving it. And getting it to a teammate to go back the other way.
Love that. And you just brought something up that we need to talk about.
Oh.
Keegan Murray's been on a roll the last five games since the All-Star break. Keegan Murray has to get more than 8 shots in a game. Sorry. 8 shots. That's not enough. Sabonis took 19 tonight. Fox took 16. Monk took 12. Lyles took 10. I know Lyles got good shots. And I said I was criticizing him for passing up some late in the fourth quarter. Keegan Murray is a very good player that needs to get looks. Fair. He made some nice defensive plays in this game. I liked what I saw from him. He got in foul trouble that I thought hurt him, but he had 3 blocks tonight. Keegan Murray is too important to get only 8 shots in a game. That's absurd.
Think about what he was doing against Minnesota. He was being aggressive, right?
He had a couple of aggressive moves tonight. The foul trouble definitely hurt him, but he still played more, 38 minutes.
More.
But that's not just on him. But like, Kings were forcing it inside. Yes. That's Fox was talking about in the paint against a team that defends the paint pretty well. They've got a whole bunch of guys that are digging at the ball. Kings weren't making quick decisions. They weren't finishing around the rim. You have to find ways to get Keegan involved, especially when they're not good at guarding the 3-point line.
You have to find ways, but Deuce, you know how you talk about like how mentally these guys.
Sorry, I just.
No.
No, but it's about Keegan. I'm talking about Keegan real fast.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, go ahead. Thank you. Jesus Christ. So what I'm talking about with Keegan is you're talking about how guys need to have like a different mental shift and everything. Even Keegan, I know you keep talking about like other people have to get him involved. Other people, I get that. And that is absolutely true. But he also has to be like, give me the effing ball. Like, let's go. Like, it has to be a different type of aggression. It just does.
Well, they got to build his confidence to do that. He's in a second year. So expecting some second year guy that is not like some super vocal guy, but give me the damn ball. It's just like not happening this year. Patrick was saying they put Caruso on Keegan late in the game and it shut Keegan down. Yeah, but you can get Caruso off of him too. Like, be creative, you know? And that I don't. There was one tonight where I loved it. They took away the dribble handoff and Keegan instinctively, and I think this is just a new wrinkle with the Kings offense. Hey, teams are going to take away the dribble handoff like they did it in the playoffs and like they've done this year. He cut to the basket. Sabonis found a beautiful, beautiful score. He also had a nice take off the dribble that I loved late in the shot clock. But I guess to your point, Morgan, the decisiveness, and we've mentioned this before on Night Chats, it seems like when he's paying attention to clock late in the shot clock, that's when he has a decisive move. He had that one tonight where I think Julian Phillips was on him. Late in the shot clock, he got the ball. He put the ball on the ground, spun, and finished up with the right hand. It was a gorgeous move, but I'm like, hey, Keegan, you can make that move earlier, too. It doesn't just have to be when the shot clock's winding down.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that pressure comes on, like, I have to make a move. And it's like, no. You're able to make that move even 10 seconds into the shot clock because your ability to put the ball on the floor and make a move on someone is great. So figure it out and keep continuing to push on these teams and show off that you can do this type of stuff, even if De'Aaron Fox is back in. You know, I think sometimes some people would say, oh, well, Fox is back, so maybe that's why he was taking less. No, I'm telling you, it's one of those things that he has to just take the ball and go.
And Patrick followed up saying Keegan looked afraid to shoot almost every time he caught it with Caruso on him. Well, then that's just, he's got to get over that, man.
Figure it out.
Yeah, you got a size advantage too. I know Caruso is a good defender, but bring it.
And if that is the case, then I'm in the huddle and I'm saying, which one of you people are going to set a screen on Caruso? You know, like let's put me in a pick and roll situation, or like let's run this set, this action, because this action will help create this space away from Caruso. Like, you're a smart enough player and a high enough IQ basketball player to know what could work against different personnel. And that's where I'm saying, like, even if it's not with his voice, like, give them three words. Pick and roll. Can you give me a pick and roll?
Give me ball.
Can I just have a pick and roll?
Pick and roll, please.
And then I'll dunk the ball.
Please. Thanks. Yeah. Don't be scared, Kings. Don't be scared. So your Street Jewelers moment of the night was something about blocks.
Jesus.
I'll acknowledge that, but it's also being up 22 and losing and being outscored 46-20 the rest of the way.
You're making that the moment?
I feel like we've lost what the Street Jewelers moment of the night is. It's remembering things that happened this season. We go, remember this game? It's good and bad. It's not true. Life isn't all positive. I'm sorry. We're not going, hey, remember this? He did this nice thing in a game. You lost the game at home. Okay. That's like true. What are we doing?
But if you do go to Sharif Jewelers, everything is very positive there.
That's true.
I mean, from the jewelry and what you could add to your collection to everyone that actually works there.
Duh. Go check them out. Morgan, we had some other NBA topics I want to get to, because there's one thing I want to do a better job is talking about other things that happened in the league too. Warriors lost to the Celtics by 52 points yesterday, 140-88.
So fun.
140-88. Celtics are a 48-12. And it's just, this is how weird the West is. We just went over the Lakers stretch. This stretch, the teams from Phoenix, Sacramento, Dallas, LA, Golden State, what do we make of all of them? They're all inconsistent. Golden State loses by 52 points and Porzingis didn't play. Mm-hmm. After the game, talk about dismissive. Steve Kerr was like, it happens. You know, we just went 3-on-1 on a road trip. Draymond was laughing about the fact that
they decided 15 minutes before the game that the game plan against Jaylen Brown to start was to sag off Jaylen Brown, who then started the game with like 19 points. The Warriors are the cockiest 10 seed I think I've ever... I feel like the Warriors think the standings say they're number one right now. They think they are where the Boston Celtics are. They are the 10th seed. And they're going like this and just, that's all good. And we flush. Kerr's like, we just flushed that game. You lost by 52 points.
Yeah. A little, I find it strange, the nonchalant nature of some of these comments that we saw after. But at the same time, like, I'm just not counting this team out until I finally see them die. You know what I mean? It's like they do this every year, and then even last year, it's like, oh, they're playing crappy all the way through, and then they finally come together, you know, and have some good basketball, and everyone's playing everyone's healthy and feeling good. And it's just like, what? How does this happen? Oh, it happens because Steph Curry. You know what I mean? Like, and even with the adjustment of putting Klay on the bench, and then they found a lot of positive basketball.
And then Wiggins is gone now, personal reasons.
And then Wiggins is gone, and Chris Paul's back, and so you know, like, they have so many things moving, and then this game happens, and then they have those comments, but I just can't even talk smack about their comments, because I feel like if I do, I'm giving like power like to... Okay.
You're ridiculous. You're giving power to the Warriors.
Yeah.
You need to like drop this karma shit. Like, here's what we need to know. No, okay?
I believe in different energies, okay?
There is one legitimate team. There's one, like, to me, no doubt about it, championship contending team in the West.
Oh.
It's Denver.
Okay.
And in the East, there's one. And I can make a slight case for two.
But I'm not even acting like for the Golden State Warriors. I guess what my perspective is coming from playoff perspective of just where the Sacramento Kings may land, all blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
But yes, the Golden State Warriors, their perspective is that they are the Western Conference contenders. Absolutely. Absolutely.
The Warriors right now, 32-28. They are, after tonight, just two games behind the Sacramento Kings. But it's just... This season has just been so bizarre for these teams. You think about Phoenix right now, they've lost a couple in a row. Their energy looks bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, KD looked a little disengaged last night. Booker's out.
Yep.
7 to 10 days with the ankle sprain, and their schedule coming up, Morgan, you talk about a tough schedule. And this is, again, without Devin Booker in the lineup here. They play Denver Tuesday. Okay, you get Toronto in there, but then they have to play Boston at Cleveland at Boston. That's a rough stretch.
And that's
likely to be without Devin Booker. That's going to be really tough for that group. They've been so up and down. They have no depth. No one trusts them.
Uh-uh.
Sacramento in the seventh spot? How can you trust Sacramento? Like, this example 1A tonight.
But then you even go to the Dallas Mavericks.
That's my point. I'm going over every single team 6 through 10, and the fan bases are say Deuce and Mo of Phoenix are saying the same thing about the Suns.
You think?
The Dallas Mavericks have lost some terrible games. They got off to a nice stretch of games here a little bit, and now they've had some really bad losses. I mean, they lost at home to Philly, who they were missing key guys all over the place. That's a terrible loss. And then, you know, the Lakers have been up and down. They got a big win today. Golden State has these games where, like, oh, they're figuring out. And then they fall apart. I just don't trust any of them, you know? And, like, OKC has had some weird losses. People want to put them in the championship contention. I'm not there yet. I think they need more experience. I think you can make a case for the Clippers. I feel like they've been more together.
But then
recently,
Russ and his fractured hand, they say that he's going to come back before the playoffs. But well, I mean, what does that even, you know, like, where will he be
with that? It's crazy. I mean, the difference between 6 and 10 right now is, you know, 2.5 games. The difference between 10 and 5 is 3.5 games. It's
just more exciting when the Kings are winning games that they're supposed to, like tonight, right. You know, and it's,
because I know it's going to be tough. It's absolutely going to be tough. But when you do this crap to yourself, especially when you're seeing other teams be like, hey, okay, like fractured hand over here, sprained ankle over here, playing like shit over here. And you got to capitalize on all of that in March.
Michael says, I'm old enough to remember when Sacramento was a tough place to play. Nobody fears coming to Sacramento. This team doesn't give an S about protecting home court. I mean, I think they care, that I think they want to, but they just don't. And you're right. No one. Why would you be scared? Like, I think now Sacramento, their reputation as a team this year is, oh, we can come back. We could beat them. Like, they have that reputation around the league. People are scared of Sacramento because they believe, especially with some of the offensive talent in this league, they can expose some of these mismatches. Well, the Kings are prone to giving up runs. They're so inconsistent. Like,
especially defensively. I mean, you know what you can break down with this King squad. Now, when they're locked in and you see how well they play together in a team defense, it makes life a lot more difficult for some of these teams. But when you understand their weaknesses, especially with some individuals, and you see these teams like find a way to get that switch and go ISO on them. Yeah, it's a good game plan.
Man, is anyone beating Boston in the East?
Dude,
they're 40-12. The Bucks are playing better basketball right now. Like, they've had better moments. They've won. Wow, they've won 6 in a row. They won without Giannis tonight. Boston's won 11 in a row. The defense under Doc, everyone likes to make jokes, it's gotten a lot better. They're playing good defense again. Cleveland, you lose Donovan Mitchell now. The Knicks are all banged up. No one's taking the Sixers, Magic seriously. The team that I'm like, I never count out anymore is Miami.
Well, you shouldn't.
They're good. Good, and they're going to be dangerous, and who knows? They could make a fun run again.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you shouldn't count them out, especially Miami culture, Heat culture, you know, all those things. But truly, each and every – they're – in a sense, you could say they're like the Warriors, where they always just find a way, especially at the end of the season when it matters most, to creep in there or get a few extra wins, beat some of the better teams. So, yeah, don't count them out. But when I look at the Eastern Conference,
it's so bad.
Boston, that's where it's at. That's where. And can we give all the love? And I know we don't need to give all the love, but I said this to you today or the other day, Drew Holiday, and just the impact that he truly makes on a team. And when you look at the Bucks, I know their defense is getting better under Doc and everything, but when you look at the Bucks and what they lost in someone like him, and adding someone like Damian Lillard, who is a future Hall of Famer, it's still insane to see that drop off of what that type of player, that type of point guard can do for your team, that type of two-way guy can do for your team and elevate your team.
And he's completely bought into his role in Boston. Like, he doesn't have to be the guy, right? Yep. Like, he doesn't have to go score 20. He could take less shots than ever and still impact the game in so many ways. And that's like a credit to Boston. Obviously, if they don't win a championship, it's going to be like, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. But dude, they made some ballsy moves. They took a team that was really good, and they went, no, we have to change things. And they traded some impactful players.
Yeah.
I mean, you traded Marcus Smart, right?
Yeah.
Malcolm Brogdon won Sixth Man of the Year, and it's fine. We'll move on from him, right? That seems crazy to some.
Mm-hmm.
And they take a chance on Porzingis. Now he's hurt right now. Hopefully it's not a big deal for them. Porzingis fits perfectly with him. Another guy that the pressure's not on him. You got Tatum and you got Brown. You add Derek White a couple years ago, you know, at the deadline. Like, they have put themselves in such a nice spot. And God, it seems like they've got the total package. They also play in a conference that's not very good.
Yeah. 11 game win streak.
And the rest of the East is bad. And Indiana's been a mess. People want to put them like up in the top four after trading for Siakam. And, you know, Halliburton, I don't know what's going on with him. He has not been the same since the injury. And we're talking about not just 15 games, 20. We're talking about 30 games where he has not played the same level of basketball for Indiana. I think he tried to push it through the hamstring thing. I think the 65 game thing has put pressure on guys to maybe fight through stuff. It's just not worth it, man. If you're hurt, you gotta sit out and get better, especially with a hamstring situation. But his numbers have dripped dramatically. I think the month of February, I'd have to double check. I think the last 15 games, he's averaging like 14 points a game.
I mean, and you talk about the hamstring, though, and trying to get 65 games. I mean, there's $50 million on the line, you know, and that's yeah. where it was like, well, I'm going to do, in some ways, you know, whether you want to call it selfish, it's like, it's not just him. It's Rick Carlisle also allowing it to happen and everything. And I don't blame them for wanting to make sure that he gets that bonus, but you're absolutely right. It definitely didn't help this team and maybe what the rest of the guys could have done together, even without him on the floor, just growing together, right? Developing together, especially after the Siakam trade. It's just, yeah, hasn't been good.
But Tyrese Haliburton also signed like a massive extension. I understand there's money on the line, but like from a logic standpoint for me, it's like, so we agree to a 5-year 260. Now, some of that may not be the full 260. He probably has to reach bonuses yeah. like this, right? Yeah. But if you're trying to chase an all NBA thing, it's better to like take a couple of weeks off. And I guess the risk is you I get it.
Another injury happen.
No, but then maybe it lasts longer than 60. You know, yep. you don't reach the 65 game mark by taking a couple of weeks off. But I just think, especially a hamstring injury, you don't dick around with that. Mm-mm. Like, take your time. So, yeah, the East is weird, and he's been in a major funk. I mean, he had an 0-for-7 game against San Antonio or against the Pelicans and then against the Spurs and a loss 4-of-16.
Jeez.
And that's – so you're just like, man, you got to get him back healthy.
Yeah.
You know? The Bulls are in 9th right now. So, anyway, the East is not very good. But the West, to me, it's like Denver. I don't trust – like their depth totally, but their starting five is just so cohesive. It's Jokic is the best player in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. Tonight they're a half game out first, and they've won 6 in a row.
That's it. Yeah, and I mean, you think about experience. You think about having the best player in the game and Jokic on your team. Also, what you just said about their starting five, and just when you do have a. I feel like, especially in the postseason, when we see complete teams, not it doesn't even mean your depth is perfect, but I guess a complete starting unit, and it flows, and it works, and it's healthy. It's usually the thing that gets you the furthest.
Yeah, I just don't trust any other team in the West. I don't.
It's fair.
Like, there's...
That's fair.
They all have huge flaws. The Clippers, if healthy, yeah, but I do you trust that?
That's well, we're basically not trusting the Clippers based on track record, right?
Yes,
that's yes. I mean, yeah, that's what it is, and it's.
But what I do like fair. About them this year is it does seem. I mean, Kawhi's been playing. Paul mm-hmm. George missed some games. They could switch. They defend. They're versatile. The Harden fit has been it, dude. It's worked. They've been pretty good with Harden. The question always with Harden is come playoff time, but there's also less pressure on him.
There's he's way not, less pressure.
He's not the guy. They've got good size. Zubats is closing some games for them now.
If Russ can get healthy.
Norm Powell is a really good bench player. Like, it's a pretty good team.
It is.
But
that would be the other team. That team in the beginning of the season, we were like, on paper, they're the champ. You know, they're the champs. They're the Western Conference contenders, whatever. And to actually see them. Have not only success after what happened after the James Harden trade at first, losing like the first 7 or whatever it was, but then also seeing health is pretty yeah. mind-boggling considering what we've seen consistently throughout some of those individuals.
So don't really trust them. Okay. Oklahoma City, great story. They might have the MVP this year in SGA. He's been awesome, both sides, consistent. But, you know, they've got flaws. I mean, they lost tonight to the Lakers. They lost to the Spurs. They've had some tough losses. It's a young team that's still learning. And I'm not a championship this year? No. Like, stop it.
I need to watch a team I've not watched enough of lately.
The Pelicans.
Yeah.
The Pelicans. And just because just kind of hanging in there. Uh-huh. No one's really talking about them.
I know. And I'm curious because, like, I haven't actually seen, like, obviously they're winning. They're in that fifth spot. But I'm curious what they look like right now. And I just need to catch a few more of those games.
In the chat, Sean says the Clippers' slow ISO offense will lead to their demise. Yeah, that's a problem. It's like come playoff time. When teams are locking down, how are you functioning? How are you running things? There's too much. His turn, my turn, oh, this turn, you know, mm-hmm. and it needs to flow. Denver, that team flows.
Oh
my God.
It's beautiful.
So, and then we went over the rest. So, I don't know. It's like.
It's the wild, wild west, as they call it. And that's why every single night, buckle up and not only be ready for whatever you're going to get from the Kings, be ready for what you're going to get from the other teams, too, because there's a lot of inconsistency there.
Well, let's just call 6 through 10 the battle of the mid. That's what it is.
Wow.
Bunch of mid teams.
Love that word, that phrase.
Can we end the game, end the show tonight on a positive?
We can end the game, yeah.
End the game. Well, I was going to say you have a game.
Oh, you want to play that game?
I think we should play. Do you want to play it?
Okay, sure.
What's your game called again?
Who said that?
Who said that? This is a game we debuted on our monthly Q&A on patreon.com/deuceandmo. Morgan decided she's going to create a game, and you could play along in the chat, called Who Said That? You're going, Deuce and Mo, why are you playing a game? You know what? We busted out the basketball name game at the end of the shows. I was trying to, let's keep it real. I'm like, you know what? We need people to come hang out with us, win or lose, and feel like they're having fun. If the Kings win, it's always fun. But when they lose, everyone's like down. It's like, we can still be up at the end
we
of this.
We can still hang out.
So we're going to hang out and have a good time because there is another game coming up on Wednesday. So we're going to play Morgan's game. Who said that?
All right. So
okay.
Who said that?
Yeah. And
it's going to be quotes from either an NBA player.
Okay.
It's going to be a movie quote or it's going to be a quote from a musician. Okay, so Deuce has to pick NBA player, movie, musician. And then he'll get extra bonus points, and any of you will too, if you actually name the person or the character that said it. So you ready?
Okay.
Let's start with this. Let's see. Downtime is not the name of the game.
Downtime is not the name of the game?
Correct.
That's a musician for sure. Talking about just grinding, like coming up with an album. You just have to keep producing things.
Final answer?
Yeah.
All right. Yes.
Who is it?
Do you know the musician?
No.
Usher.
Usher. Okay.
Okay.
So I got one.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. I pray you understand why I push you so hard. It was only to get you to the next level.
That has to be a movie. If that's like a... No, that... Wait. Or is that an NBA player? NBA, Kobe Bryant.
Denzel Washington, he got game.
God!
I was like, uh-oh, did I not do well this time? Okay. Okay. I don't play defense.
Well, let me just look at the Kings roster here.
Oh, my God. NBA player, movie quote, or musician?
Specifically Sacramento Kings player. I'm going to say a Kings player from 2006 through 2024.
Final answer.
Okay. One more time. What was the quote?
I don't play defense.
That's an NBA player.
All right. It was Bill Murray in Space Jam.
What? That sounds like a funny quip an NBA player would say.
He's in the huddle and he says like Bugs Dude, or whoever. And he says
Space, the original Space Jam.
Correct.
What do you think of Space Jam 2? LeBron Space Jam.
We don't need to talk about it. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
If you don't fall, how are you going to know what getting up is like?
If you don't fall, how do you know what getting... I mean, that's such a dumb quote. Who wants to fall?
I mean, falling is good.
Okay. Okay. NBA. That's a musician.
It is Steph Curry.
Ugh. What a corny line. Steph Curry.
I liked it.
What was it again?
If you don't fall, how are you going to know what getting up is like?
Did he spend some time workshopping quotes?
It's like my quote that I always say. That is so
corny.
I always say, be willing to fail, but don't accept failure.
Oh. I mean, that one's fine.
Thank you. What a dick.
I was still eyeing at Steph Curry.
All right. Next one.
Also, kid number four coming up for the Currys.
Yeah, Jesus.
And at some point, aren't you like, yeah, we're good.
They have so much money. I know. You have money in this world, you have the resources to pay for kids. All right. I feel like God put me here to help out with people's soul, man.
I feel like God helped me. That has to be a musician.
Ding, ding, ding. Travis Scott.
Wow. Travis Scott. He was at Caitlin Clark's game yesterday.
Yes, he was. Dude, so cool. I love seeing more and more people recognize game.
Way to
recognize
be a band. Game. He shows up at that game?
That's not the only game he showed up to. Where was he
2 years ago, huh?
Probably was there. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for cornrows and manicured toes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
It's Nelly.
Oh, you knew that one? Damn. Okay. And I usually don't pick a song. And so I was going to see if you just got it.
Are you serious? Okay. Of course I know that.
All right.
Country Grammar.
Okay. Okay. Like, we got it. Like,
all right, just trying to show off my knowledge. I know.
This is what you do. And it's like so ick. It gives me the ick. All right. Confidence is everything in this game. If you don't think you can, you won't.
It's an NBA player.
Jerry West.
Jerry, that's a good quote. Confidence is everything.
All right, you ready?
I've missed like two.
You've missed two. You've done great.
Thank you.
I've failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed.
I like that quote. That's a little deep. Yeah. It's like, no, that's a good one.
I love people guessing too. This is great.
Yeah, the chat's been great with this. If you guys have a hint for do you guys have an idea for this one?
Some people have a few.
NBA player. One more time.
I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. Oh, that's not a joke.
We're getting a lot of people guessing NBA players. Jordan, Kobe. Johnny says movie. Donald says Field of Dreams. Manny says Giannis. Yeah, I'm going to say NBA player.
Ding, ding, ding. Michael Jordan.
Woo! Shout out to Ari in the chat.
Well, if
MJ.
I was going to mix this one in more, but if you don't get this, then it's sad. All right. Last one.
You came up with a lot of them today, huh?
If you can dodge a wrench, okay, you can dodge a ball.
Dodgeball.
Thank you.
Dodgeball. Great movie.
Just making sure.
That's a fun game.
I had to test you out a little.
Thank you.
Give you some easy ones. See if you were like, I should have read them differently too.
I can give you one guess the nickname for a basketball reference if you guys are ready.
Oh, sure.
Just one. This is just one.
Deuce is like the kid that never wants to end.
Okay.
And like, he's like, wait, can we play forever?
There's a guy on Reddit who thinks I do this just because.
Yeah, but I mean, but this is literally okay. You. You're so a child. So this is called
Guess the Nickname. I've shouted this out before. The Athletic NBA podcast does a game like this. I put a little twist on it. Basketball Reference has nicknames for a lot of NBA players. We're going to pick one player. I'm going to rattle off the nicknames, but one of the nicknames is not real. And Morgan has to guess. Tonight, we mention a former Sacramento King. He played the 17-18 season with the Sacramento Kings, the one and only Vince Carter, who we all know is named Vinsanity. We know that nickname. Here are some other ones. The Poster for all of his nasty dunks, right? Sunshine. and Yoda. The poster, Sunshine, and Yoda. One of those is fake.
I'm going to go with Sunshine is fake. Because Yoda, veteran, knowledge, all the things, poster, obviously, jamming on people's faces. Sunshine, what the shit is that, you know?
Well, I'll tell you this. The nickname Sunshine has a connection to Vince Carter's hometown of Daytona Beach, Florida. His AAU squad mates in New Jersey started calling him Sunshine as a reference to the sunny Florida weather. His teammate, Kevin Freeman, said crowds at their games would get hyped for Vince Carter's arrival, chanting, Sunshine coming! Sunshine coming!
So what's the fake one then?
The nickname Yoda was given to him by his Hawks teammates when Trae Young revealed that the Hawks called Vince Carter Yoda because of all his veteran knowledge and wisdom. The fake one, the poster.
Really?
Thank you.
Doesn't it sound like that would be his nickname, though?
It does. That's the whole point of this game is Deuce Mason comes up with some challenging ones. And I plant things in your head like the poster, like because of his big dunks. And then you're like, yeah, that makes sense. And then I bust out Sunshine.
It sounds like, but it does sound like you are manipulating the game in some ways.
That's part of the game.
Noted.
It's noted.
Noted.
Play mind
games.
No
one's going to fool me anymore. Noted.
So Yoda, that's it. Yeah, the poster is fake, guys. The poster is fake. That'll do it for us. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Let us know what you think in the comment section on YouTube. Make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe. We love you guys so, so, so much. But we got to go.
Love hanging out with you all. Appreciate you. See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.